We're live.
Hi, everybody. It is Cindy here with Australia One News. I wanted to remind all of you, there's some news going around that Australia is in a dictatorship. They're talking about this in the United States. It's absolutely not true. And just to prove it, I've invited a dissident on this show today. We're going to interview him, talk about what he thinks is tyranny here in Australia, and I'm going to debunk him live. So we have Will Witt here. Will, tell me why you think Australia is a dictatorship.
G'day, mate.
G'day.
Yeah, I've got to take a photo of my face.
Yeah.
Send it to the govvy, and they're going to tell me that I'm safe at home.
Well, Will, are you doing anything wrong?
No, mate.
Then why does it matter?
I don't want to send a picture of my face to the bureaucrats.
It's for your health and safety. I need something else. You got anything else?
All right, mate. I'm out walking the other day, right? And this guy comes up, got a little gun, shoots me with a rubber bullet, mate.
Yeah.
Just for walking outside without a mask.
Well, guess what? Was there a grandma out there?
Don't know, mate.
You could have killed her.
Yeah, I could have.
I think you saved her life.
Mate, I got to walk around and get tear gas.
Anyways, that's enough there from Will Witt. As you've just heard, I've had a dissident on the show. We've disproved him. Obviously, Australia is not in a dictatorship. And we're going to end the show by saying you better all be in your homes. And if you're not, the government will find out and they will attack you for your health and safety. Thank you for watching. This has been Australia One News.
I feel very safe, mate.
Right up. Guys, welcome to the show. Will and Amal alive. It's Will's first actual week, sort of back.
Well, I'm gone tomorrow. So
you guys got a little taste of Will for a little bit, and then he's gone again.
Just a small taste. Very small one.
Just a very, very small one. Guys, Taylor's here as well. Taylor hasn't said anything.
What's up, guys? I'm back on the camera duty, so I'm. This is very difficult for me. I haven't done this in a long time. We need Hot Scott back.
Yeah, Taylor's hustling on the streams again. Hot Scott will be back to come and take care of this at a later date. But guys, we have some guests on the show, not to necessarily talk about tyranny in Australia, but tyranny in the United States. We've
dun,
got
dun, dun.
Dun, 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 spooky stuff. We've got Pablo and Lori here. Pablo's a teacher. Lori is a parent. And what they're both struggling with right now is vaccine mandates. And it's a struggle, I think, that a lot of us are going through. We're going to get into a story later here today. I tried to go out this past weekend and got turned away for not being vaccinated. So I think this is going to become a part of life for many of us here in the United States, specifically for those in California. So Lori and Pablo, I want to leave it to you. We'll lead with Pablo because you're the teacher. Talk about your story, what you're experiencing right now with vaccine mandates here in LA.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. I just wanted to say that it's been such a difficult journey as a teacher. I've been teaching for 22 years, 12 years at Roscommere Road Elementary, and it's such a great school, a great community, and to have to leave that community, especially my students, my parents, I feel very distraught, and all because of the vaccine mandates that have been basically put into place by the district. And it's been a challenge because no matter what I do, no matter what I say, these children are the ones who are going to be suffering in the end. And they really, on the last day of school, I'll share, I had some parents protesting out there. They really don't want to see me go, and I don't want to go. I was okay to teach previously. I was following all the safety protocols, and but apparently now it's not enough. So from Friday to Monday, something happened, and so I guess I'm a pumpkin. So anyways, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm very distraught, and I feel that, you know, the ones who suffer in the end are really the children, especially.
What age of children are you teaching in?
Well, so yes, thank you for asking. So I'm a fourth grade teacher.
Okay.
And so I teach 9, 10-year-olds, and so they're very attached. We have built such a great community. I do a whole Jedi Academy system in my classroom. And actually in 2005, I won a national award from Disney. It was called the Disney Hand Award, and 500,000 nominations. I was one of 40 teachers, one of 6 in California.
Wow.
So I like to bring innovation and project-based learning to the classroom. But all that I feel now is going to go to the wayside because of these mandates.
So what is the status of your position right now in this school? Are you staying until they absolutely say you're gone? Have they fired you? What is the case?
It's very difficult because the way the district is handling this, pretty much they're forcing you, at least as a teacher or a principal, to take a position with City of the Angels, which is the independent study program. Mm-hmm. And what makes it very difficult is, first of all, the program is kind of, well, it's not doing very well. It's not very organized, to say the least. And I'm sure that the quality of education there is nothing compared to what we have in the classrooms. So I feel sorry for those kids as well. But there are many staff members, support staff, for example, carpenters, painters. There are, you know, teachers' aides and psychologists who have no choice. They did not get that as an option. So, yeah.
It's very, very unfortunate. Do you think that the teachers are going to rally against this, possibly bring a lawsuit against this administration?
Absolutely. Or? Absolutely. I think so. I think that the teachers are going to unite and that we're going to fight this because it is an injustice. And it is affecting the lives of just not the teachers, but and their families, actually. I have my own family, but also all the families that they reach out to.
It's imperative to note that you said these are 9 to 10-year-olds who you teach. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's an incredibly important thing, especially when it comes to the fact that studies show that children are not transferring COVID over to teachers. Teachers are not transferring COVID to students who are of that age. Students who are of that age are not really dying from COVID. I think it's been less than 1,000 children in the entire United States over the last almost 2 years who have died from COVID at under that age, or under like the age of 17. I mean, it is ridiculous to think that these people are having this much of a freak out over something at this much of a scale. I mean, we have Nordic countries that are basically saying no to lockdowns, no to vaccine mandates, no to masks, no to anything, and their cases are dropping. Well, in some places in America right now, especially like we can look at New York right now, their cases are rising, and they have mandated vaccines and still have mask mandates in many places. It's like, what is going on that this tyranny is so developing and they continually want people to live by these mandates when in reality it's like it's not necessary whatsoever?
It's control and power.
Yeah, speaking
Absolutely.
Of which, Lori.
It's all about control and power, and that's really where this the rubber meets the road. We've seen it through the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. We've seen the United Teachers Los Angeles, right? They've from the beginning, when it came to COVID, it was all about everything except the children, except education, and now they're doing it again, and it's a power play. That's from the school's perspective, and it's the same thing from the government's perspective. This is all a power play because the science doesn't necessarily, to your point, support what they're saying.
Yep.
Children have not been transmitting the disease, and children have not been getting sick. There are less children that have died from COVID than have died from flu so far.
Mm-hmm.
And flu is a killer. And so if we're gonna, and I'm pro-vaccine, and I am pro-vaccine, I'm all for it, but if you're gonna be pro-choice, you have to be pro-choice. And we are taking the choice of injecting ourselves with a chemical and throwing that out, and that's not a freedom we're willing to give up.
Mm.
We're saying give the parents and give the teachers a better voice at the table, because right now that's not happening. All we want for our children, let alone for our teachers, is the ability to choose. And to your point, we've had reduction after reduction and reduction in the numbers. I think nationally, the number is now down 20%. The same people that didn't get vaxxed in the last 6 to 8 weeks when those numbers have been dropping are still the same people that aren't vaxxed today.
Right.
So it blows the numbers out, and now they're going to put it upon our children. So now you're going to go ahead and you're going to give this drug or try to enforce it upon our children. We have no long-term study to establish what the effects are going to be on our children's development longer term. And we as parents are saying, give us a choice. We have raised our children. We've done a good job. Give us the choice, just like you want everybody else in the country to have choices over their body, whether it's a transgender situation, whether it's LGBTQ. Everybody has a choice. Why can we not choose what we put in our children's bodies?
Mm. Well, now they want a mandate in LA for 12 to 17-year-olds in the high school and middle school system, essentially. How wild is that? I mean, how many more billions of dollars is Big Pharma going to make until they realize that this is unnecessary? I mean,
Pfizer... Sue them.
You can't sue them. No, you can't. Yeah. No. Lobby the government. Yeah. If anything happens because you take it, the taxpayer is responsible for paying it.
That's right.
How horrible is that? I mean, that's truly evil. And now they're coming out, Pfizer is saying they want 5 to 11-year-olds to now be able to get it.
It's ridiculous.
This goes further than a vaccine for me. It goes, like I said, it speaks to freedom. We were talking earlier about a Holocaust survivor who was talking about how, you know, power in the hands of the wrong people is a bad and scary thing. And while I would never make the parallel between our government and what the Nazis and Hitler has done, the beauty of our Constitution is that we have a process. We have an electoral process. We have a legislative process. And while they did in Austria as well, Hitler did not roll into Austria on tanks. He was voted in 98%. And slowly, freedom was taken away. And slowly, slowly, it was whittled away. And this is what we're feeling. We're feeling that mob rule from a parent's perspective is what is actually limiting our power as parents. And it's really compromising our overall freedom. And if you want a mandate in this country, we have freedom of religion, right? We have medical freedom as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, how can you mandate it when there's a legislative process? Remember that Schoolhouse Rock, how a bill becomes a law?
Right.
So I just don't understand how one person or a group of people can mandate elimination of people's livelihoods because they are not prepared to inject themselves with whatever you're telling us to inject ourselves with. What if the government wasn't good? What if the power was in the hands of the wrong people?
Well,
we're not going to question?
Seems like it already is. Yeah. I mean, listen,
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt.
All right. I do not give the benefit of the doubt. I do not give the benefit of the doubt at all. When I look at people in either party, it seems like it is a lot of evil. I mean, listen, when your politicians in this country can be bought and sold like bargaining chips at a flea market, you no longer have a country.
That's right.
You no longer have a legislative power. You no longer have a constitution.
Yep.
If the people who are supposed to preserve these things that were put into office to say, hey, I want to keep these things sacred because this is what our country was founded on, and they don't preserve it because they are more interested in their own vanity and power and what other people think about them than actually preserving the union, then you are no longer going to have a society that can stick together as a nation. And things like you and your situation are going to continue happen.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are going to continually to get upset at these school boards, and there's almost going to be times where it feels like there is nothing you can do.
That's right.
Yeah, and this would be a time to unite and transcend political party at this very moment, because if you really look at this, not on the micro level but on the macro level, it is truly the elites versus us, as Will likes to say. And this could be a uniting factor for everybody, regardless of where you lie politically, regardless of what party you support. If you realize that the true battle is between us and them, we would get so much more done. Now, you guys have gone to bat for not only Pablo as a teacher, but you as a parent. You guys are backing each other up, defending each other, trying to fight this.
That's right.
What are you doing, and how can people support you?
So one of the things, I'm part of a larger group called the California Educators for Medical Freedom.
Okay.
And so we're a nonpartisan group, and we've been trying to collectively commiserate and form a community, because really I think that when we are isolated, that's when we feel alone and helpless and that we can't really do anything about the situation. But I've learned through talking to all these educators, as well as support staff, in our district and outside our district, I really begin to realize how much this policy has impacted the lives of every single family, every single child, and it's just disgraceful. Not to mention that, honestly, I myself had a religious freedom accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
So. And, you know, I still feel, though, discriminated against, because I feel that I was actually ousted, mm-hmm. you know, rather than being accommodated in the workplace and continue to work as I already have been working since last year, since we started our safety protocols and weekly testing that includes and masking and everything else. That was okay. But suddenly now it's not okay anymore. And it's funny and ironic, because I actually teach unvaccinated kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they're staying, I'm going. Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Remember how much we needed firefighters and police officers and nurses and teachers at the bulk of this pandemic, when everything was going crazy and there was all this hysteria and people were talking about how all these grandmothers are dying and all this horrible stuff is happening, and then suddenly now we don't need teachers. Now we don't need firefighters. Now we don't need police officers. Now we don't need nurses, and they're getting fired in droves.
I just don't get how they can get away with this.
Because
this blows my mind.
Because people don't have courage in their conviction.
Yeah. No, 100%. You know, and they don't know. They don't understand.
It's not that they don't know. I think people, well, maybe they don't know, but I think more that people, I think today people's integrity is wavering.
Yeah.
You know, you ask people what they believe in and they'll say, well, I believe in this until that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, no, they don't believe in this anymore. And it's the same thing. It's people are not looking at the broader picture. They're not, and I think that that's the biggest problem.
I was having a conversation today with Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep.
And one of the interesting things, we were talking about the Federal Reserve, and, mm-hmm. and people think about, like, you know, we need to leave this stuff to the experts. You know, experts understand this stuff. I'm just a normal parent or teacher in some school district or, you know, a student at a university. I can't know about this stuff. I'll leave that to the Harvard PhDs to discuss. And it's like, see, I think that people understand a little bit what's going on. I definitely do. But I think that when it comes to these issues, they're like, what can I do? You know, I'm just this person. We have experts who take care of all this stuff. We have bureaucrats in office and in the federal government, the teachers union, all these people, they'll take care of it,
and
right?
How well they've done.
And look at how well they've done. Look at the report card. Mm-hmm. Of all of this. I mean, it is terrible. It is genuinely awful. But they continually, that's like the great lie that we have been told, that it is these other people who are supposed to take care of us and they know everything.
Mm. Yeah, well, because they've done it that way. Think about it. There's no term limits.
Exactly.
They've been in office forever,
mm-hmm.
right? So if these people have been in office forever telling you over, it's like a child. You continue to tell a child they're stupid, the child's going to believe they're stupid.
Right.
These people continue to impose their power upon you, you're going to believe you're powerless. While we were standing in front of the school with picket signs in support of one of the greatest teachers we have, let alone the fact that he's a male teacher and we're dying for male teachers.
The only one.
Especially
in the way, the only one.
And one in our school.
Wow.
It's a big deal.
And we have a homeless crisis, which let's not even talk about pulling people's jobs during a homeless crisis. How do you fix the homeless? Create more? I don't get it.
Right.
But the reality is that there are so few people they're saying, so what is this going to do? Right. A woman who was standing there protesting with me said, well, what is this really going to do? And I said, you have to, because the first step is speaking out.
Yep.
Speaking out loud and fight, because you have to fight back.
Yep.
Our history, we would not be here. You and me, because we are ancestors of Holocaust survivors. We would not be here if somebody didn't stand up for us. You got to stand up.
Yeah, that is step one. And when you do stand up, guess what? Their systems fail. These businesses that are going to force vaccine mandates on you and then suddenly have no customers, those businesses fail. You have to not comply. And what's going to happen here with the teaching and the teachers unions who are also pushing this is that you're losing good teachers, because the teachers who are advocating for choice and freedom, those are the ones who truly have values. Those are the ones who truly have morals. And those are the teachers who are trying to pass that on to your kids. So essentially, you're just leaving all of our schools to be devoid of anybody with any logic or any value of freedom. So our school systems are going to fail. That's exactly what's going to happen. And if we don't speak up and do something about it, nobody's going to do it. The bystander effect is kicking in here more than I've ever seen it before. People sitting there and expecting somebody else to do something for them, and it's not going to happen.
What is the Jedi code?
The Jedi code that you teach.
You got to speak it.
Okay, so use kind words, help when you can, share and take turns, listen to what others have to say. Be honest and truthful. Think about the feelings of others. Remember your manners. Hold your temper. Think before you speak or act, and work and play fairly.
And take the high ground.
That's right.
Always.
Take the high ground, always.
Yeah. That's right. See, these are the teachers that you're losing by not speaking up. These are the people that you're losing. Do you think some woke leftist who's sitting in their fourth grade class is teaching that to kids? No, they're teaching dishonesty. They're teaching lies. They're not teaching people to treat others how they would like to be treated. They're saying, well, other people don't have your values, so let's just step all over them. That's what we're going to leave in our schools if we do not fight these mandates. So tragic. It is really... It's distressing to even have to think about it.
It's the saddest time that in America, I think. I think it's more sad because it is all self-inflicted. It's like a bunch of people coming with guns and shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over again until they can't walk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it feels like.
It feels like mob rule has won.
Yes.
Right. It's as if mob rule and there's no discourse. There's no room for disagreement and conversation and respectful disagreement, which is incredibly sad. And then you see it, and we look at our kids.
That's right.
And we say, if this is how, you know, if we can't have a conversation as adults, what are we teaching our children?
Right.
And what is our world then going to look like 30, 20 years down the road?
Right.
What are we going to leave them with?
No, it's not going to be the same world whatsoever.
We don't even they're not even enforced. They don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance at school.
Right.
No. Well, you destroy history.
You got to teach kids to love America.
But they don't want to teach kids to love America. No. They want them to hate this country.
They do.
If they can teach them to hate this country, make them part of a collective intersectional identity group, mm-hmm. you can make them think anything you want them to. Because they don't know America's founding, and they don't know what it means to be an individual. And you break all of those things down in this country, and you turn them into mindless slaves who are only obedient to the authority that is given to them in a public school system.
And teaching mm-hmm. them to live in fear at a
exactly.
very young age so they can become the automatons that you want them to be in
exactly.
the future.
Exactly.
And when you come with the little blue pill in the future, they'll take the pill.
Right. Yeah. You just have like good...
Question authority.
Exactly. You just have like... Like a good parent, okay? What a good parent does is like if you have boys, right? You have boys and they continually test like how far they can go with their parent, like or like, you know, maybe hitting their friends or things like that or doing crazy stuff and you test it. You continually test it. You're questioning the authority. Okay. Those used to be things that like it was a marker of a good parent and then you would eventually say, there's the line, you can't cross that line. But now there is no testing of that authority. It is only the authority and you can't test it or you will be punished and shamed. You can't question the authority.
Yeah. Well, guys, support Lori and Pablo here. Is there a specific way that people can support you online on social media?
Yes, there is a support Mr. Gaeta GoFundMe page. And we are trying to support him, obviously, to supplement his income and then
right.
obviously any legal fees he may incur as he tries to fight for his freedom.
Amazing. Okay,
if there's
guys.
Anything we can do for you guys, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Let
thank
us
you,
know,
thank
okay?
So
seriously.
Thank you so much.
So, yeah, and we will include whatever it is in the comment section, and we'll pin it. We'll pin it in the bottom of this video so everyone can see it. If you're watching this later, you can see it in the comments and go support the cause for sure.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, guys, more news, and it is also COVID-related. If you were on Twitter at all this morning, you probably saw the name Dennis Prager trending. The name Dennis Prager is trending because Dennis has COVID, and he's had it. For a few days now, and he finally decided to come out and tell people about it. Now, let's hear Dennis talk about it, and you guys
I'm
can come to your conclusions.
I'm broadcasting from my home because I'm not going into the station as I have COVID. I was tested positive last week, and I have been... steadily improving. At no point was I in danger of hospitalization. I have received monoclonal antibodies. That's Regeneron. I have, of course, for a year and a half, been taking hydroxychloroquine from the beginning with zinc. I've taken Z-Pak, the erythromycin, as the Zelenko protocol would have it. I have taken ivermectin.
And I'm going to pause him there. He goes on to talk about how he prefers natural immunity over vaccinated immunity, which is...
I think that's the most important part. I feel like we should maybe play that part of
it. I mean, he says exactly that. Here, I'll go a little bit ahead for you guys.
I think that's incredibly important. I think... That's part of the reason why people are getting upset with them.
Well, it won't load now, so.
Now our internet's not working.
He says exactly what I just told you. He says exactly that he prefers natural immunity over vaccinated immunity.
But there's a way that Dennis says it.
He says
it in his voice.
Yes. He's gone around.
And he says he wasn't concerned about hugging people or greeting people after because he was like, eventually I expected to get COVID. And I basically wanted it that way because I wanted natural immunity, as every American should and eventually end up getting because it's an endemic disease.
And this is why is the left freaking out about this? Why is the left, they're coming all after him on Twitter. They're coming after PragerU on Twitter. I tweeted about it. Amla tweeted about it. People are saying disgusting, vile things about, you know, oh, the natural immunity and all. It's like, if you have depression, okay? If you are diagnosed with depression, is it better to get out of depression through active lifestyle, eating healthy foods that support a good mindfulness, having worthwhile relationships in your life, those types of things? Or is it better to take an antidepressant? It's like, it's so obvious which one is better for you in the long run. It is so obvious. The fact that people are freaking out and saying, oh, it is better to have the vaccine instead of natural immunity, is wild. I mean, that is truly remarkable to think that people have switched over to that side when obviously a natural remedy is, of course, better. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, your body and the way that it processes viruses is going to process it better if you actually have obtained said virus rather than having a vaccine that is tried and true, that's studied, it's real, it doesn't matter. And any actual logical doctor will tell you the exact same thing. It is better to naturally get a virus than it is to be vaccinated towards a virus. But whatever. Moot point, I guess, not really, but... what has come out after this, after Dennis saying that he has COVID, is an onslaught of hate from the left, and hate that shows you what the left is all about. I want to read some of the replies to my tweet here. And I said, the responses from the left to Dennis Prager surviving COVID-19 tells you all that you need to know about the left. And even so, under this tweet, he hasn't survived yet. Sorry, with the vaccine surviving so far. People who are actively wishing that Dennis Prager would die of COVID-19 in this comment section on Twitter. And that's exactly why he's trending on Twitter. It's people leaving an onslaught of comments saying that Dennis Prager deserves to die. Amazing.
You don't subscribe to the religion, you deserve to die. That is the new norm in America today.
Right, right.
You don't subscribe to the leftist religion 100%. Sorry, game over for you. I hope you die.
They are woke jihadists. That is exactly what they are. They are wokeism fundamentalists subscribing to this religion and saying that they don't want dissidents. And because Dennis is a dissident who is actually being logical about where he stands in regard to COVID-19, has the virus, is doing well enough to still do his show and talk to people about it. And that's what makes him upset.
I remember when Rush died a couple, what was that, like 2 months ago when Rush Limbaugh died, something like that. And I remember going to some leftist YouTube channels. I remember going to Hassan Piker's channel and some others, I think Vaush, and seeing what they were saying about the death of Rush Limbaugh. And these men is loosely termed. These guys were coming and saying, you know, how happy they were that Rush Limbaugh died. They were saying that. But we have to look at the bigger picture, because what these guys were saying about when Rush died is that they were happy because they felt like Rush Limbaugh pervade evil throughout the world and influenced people to be evil. If Hitler was around today and he died, I would be happy. I'd say, hell yeah, Hitler died. Hitler sucks. I'm glad that Hitler is dead. Okay? If Hitler was alive today, I would be happy that he died. So if people think that someone like Dennis Prager or someone like me or someone like Rush Limbaugh or Trump, and they say you are an evil person, and they think that you are an evil person spreading evil ideas, and then you die, I understand why they would say what they say. If the whole world tells you that Dennis Prager is an evil anti-Semitic Jew, then yeah, of course you're going to be happy if you think that he's going to die.
Yep.
I get why people say this. It doesn't mean that it's right, of course, but I get why people say it. And that's why it's really about turning the culture away from people who think that we are evil, because people who think that good is evil are the ones who the world is not made for. People who cherish good things and love good things is who a just world is made for. People who herald evil as good and good as evil are the ones who are destroying everything that we love in this country.
Yeah, and Dennis doesn't have an evil bone in his body. So, yeah, the fact that the propaganda surrounding him and others like him, Joe Rogan, Rush Limbaugh, that it's so pervasive that people actually believe that he's evil is just beyond me. Blows my mind. Now, somebody who's been calling this out recently is Barry Weiss. You guys may follow her on Twitter or on Substack with her brilliant articles that she puts out. But she was on CNN, on Brian Stelter's show. And I just want to show you this back and forth with the two of them, because she holds her ground and I very much admire it.
You write, there are tens of millions of Americans who aren't on the hard left or the hard right who feel the world has gone mad. So in what ways has the world gone mad?
Well, you know, when you have the chief reporter on the beat of COVID for the New York Times talking about how questioning or pursuing the question of the lab leak is racist, the world has gone mad. When you're not able to say out loud and in public that there are differences between men and women, the world has gone mad. When we're not allowed to acknowledge that rioting is rioting and it is bad, and that silence is not violence, but violence is violence, the world has gone mad. When we're not able to say that Hunter Biden's laptop is a story worth pursuing, the world has gone mad. When, in the name of progress, young school children, as young as kindergarten, are being separated in public schools because of their race, and that is called progress rather than segregation, the world has gone mad. There are dozens of examples that I could share with you and with
and
your
you
viewers.
And you often say, you say
everyone
allowed.
Everyone sort of knows this. And
you say we're not allowed, we're not able. Who's the people stopping the conversation? Who are they?
People that work at networks, frankly, like the one I'm speaking on right now, who try and claim that, you know, it was racist to investigate the lab leak theory. It was.
But
I mean,
who
let's
said
just
that
take
at
an
CNN?
Example.
But I'm just saying that when you say allowed, I just think it's a provocative thing you say. You say we're not allowed to talk about these things, but they're all over the internet. I can Google them.
Brian,
I can find them everywhere. I've heard about every story you mentioned.
Of course.
So I'm just suggesting, of course, people are allowed to cover whatever they want to cover.
But you and I both know, and it would be delusional to claim otherwise, that touching your finger to an increasing number of subjects that have been deemed third rail by the mainstream institutions and increasingly by some of the tech companies will lead to reputational damage, perhaps you losing your job, your children sometimes being demonized as well. And so what happens is a kind of internal self-censorship. This is something that I saw over and over again when I was at the New York Times.
Did you guys know, fun fact, PragerU just got out of Facebook jail like 3 weeks ago?
Yep.
For after a year.
Yep.
We were in Facebook jail for a year for some, what was it? I mean.
Was it the polar bear thing?
It might have been the polar bear thing. That was my fault. Well, it's not my fault. It was true. I said something that was absolutely 100% true, and they said it was false. About, you know, polar bears dying. I don't even know if I should say anything now. We're going to get put in Facebook jail again.
Right, right.
Can't even mention the word polar bear. But we got out of Facebook jail like a month ago. And to think that these people think that you can just come on and say whatever you want with no repercussions and think that this is that these are platforms of free speech and any public opinion is just... It's literally delusional. She said it's delusional.
Yeah, and it's the loophole that he's trying to use of saying, well, the fact that you're telling me about these stories right now means that you have access to them. So how are you saying that these things are being censored? Knowing full well that he works at CNN, a company that is notorious for censoring true information and putting out propaganda. And he fails to make the connection, which he does make the connection, he just fails to recognize it publicly, that CNN is perceived as authority here in the United States. People hear their news from CNN, they believe that it's tried and true because they are a large corporation and an institution that is so mainstream and an institution that paints themselves as if they are telling the truth. So yes, when CNN chooses to go with other stories that don't actually propagate the actual truth and allow other third-party people who do not have a stronghold on American news media to actually tell the truth, you are engaging in censorship and you are lying and you are part of the insanity. And I think that Barry White doesn't let him slide on that, and she actually does put that out publicly, which is great and something rare to see on CNN.
It's like I think about like people in China and some of these underground Christian churches, you know, and I can see like Brian Stelter rolling up to one of them and saying like, well, you guys can meet together and you guys can talk about your Christian ideas, so obviously you're allowed to say it. Huh? Aren't you just allowed to say it? It's like just because someone in a smaller group of people or is allowed to say something does not mean that that thing is protected, first of all, protected like it should be. And also, I guess the mainstream idea that is going to be accepted as something new and novel and able to be put out there. You know, it's a difference if you're saying, okay, you have hateful, disgusting, horrible speech that is threatening other people or libel or something like that, and you can't say that. That is different. That is not protected by the First Amendment. But having differences of opinion is supposed to be protected by the First Amendment, and these big tech companies want to claim that they are publishing tools with editorial control, as well as say that they are public platforms that are open to all. They get tax incentives from the government for saying that they are public platforms open to all. Okay, they have their cake and they get to eat it too. And the big media companies, they parrot these same messages. They do exactly the same. They're all working hand in hand. They all have the same guys backing them financially behind them. It's all bought and paid for. It's all the exact same.
Yeah. So state your case. If you're, you know, these big tech overlords need to come and state their case. Are you a public forum that allows everybody but chooses to censor conservatives? And if so, that's problematic. Or are you somebody who is engaged in censored media output? And if so, why is the Taliban? Why are jihadists on your platform? Why are people talking about committing violent acts on your platform? Are you censoring bad information and keeping people protected from that information on your platform? Or are you a public forum? And obviously, we're not getting answers on that. And the government's not holding them accountable. So it's on them as well.
No one is holding them accountable. No one is. Taylor, and you have no leadership to hold people accountable for their actions, whether it's with people staying off of work and now you have supply chain issues, or it's big tech and mainstream media silencing people, whatever it is. I mean, we have a huge accountability problem in this country. I think that that is really, I've been thinking about it recently over the past weeks and getting asked a lot of questions about it in my speeches. I think that really one of our biggest problems in America is a lack of accountability.
Yeah.
That people don't have to take accountability for any of their actions. Mm-hmm. Politicians don't have to, media doesn't, social media doesn't, big corporations don't, professors don't, I mean, unless you're a conservative. That's it. You know, like the NFL coach who got fired for calling someone gay or something 10 years ago. It's like, these are the people who have to take accountability for their actions. But as long as you're on the left, you can commit any sort of act. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take any sort of accountability.
Oh, it's completely true. It's like the quote Tom Sowell said. It used to be that meteorologist was the only job that you could get on TV and just lie through your teeth and still get paid. Now everybody can do it.
Meteorologists have good intentions.
I know.
Unless you want, like, people, you say it's going to rain, and then you're just trying to...
You're wet today, buddy.
Yeah. You're trying to hog the park for yourself. So
you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying.
You go ahead.
Yeah, no, keep...
Well, the success of a representative democracy hinges on what Will's talking about, is accountability. If the mechanism... Like, you being able to vote out people who lie to you, mm-hmm. or who do not represent your interest is what it is to hold them accountable. And if that mechanism is broken, if you're no longer holding school board members accountable, or your local representatives, or the president, or whomever, accountable for lying to you and for spitting in your face, then the whole mechanism is broken down. And it starts with believing that your vote matters, and it starts with believing that your voice matters. And mm-hmm. and you bringing that to bear in the system. But then if the system is broken to an extent where, well, my vote and my voice are no longer being heard, well, then we have a serious problem. And if you want to talk about systemic problems, we need to repair our democracy and repair our systems to where we can take them back from the people who are no longer allowing us to be represented and no longer representing our interests.
What is one of the best things about the American founding? It is that you can overthrow the government every 2 years, okay? Through elections. I mean, that is a remarkable thing,
mm-hmm.
that you can literally overthrow the government and change out all of the people within it every 2 years. Yep. But it is no longer that way, because people do not educate themselves on the issues. People do not educate themselves on the candidates and the amount of money that is pouring in from both corporations and
it's tied into the problem you mentioned earlier too, about outsourcing the way you get your information to the experts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't think enough people, everyday people, have yet realized that the media is lying to them. Yep. And that that politicians who they used to, like, people are still running off the momentum of back when the media was trustworthy and when they had standards and when they had journalistic integrity. And so the media is still running off of that trust, but they're taking advantage of that. And people like Brian Stelter are like, well, you know, people can still talk and say whatever they say. But in reality, they're spinning a specific narrative and they're suppressing any dissident information, and that doesn't fall in line with what they want to push. And they've completely gone back on their mandate, which is to report the truth and arm the people with facts. That's the whole point of the media, is to arm people with facts so that they can make their own choices. And that's something that's been completely lost right now. And so it starts too with educating yourself also, like Will talks about, and digging deeper into what's going on and not just taking the media's word for it. Because as long as you still have some like surface level of engagement with true information, mm-hmm. and then you're not going to be armed with the facts that you need in order to counter the lies that are being told right now and the lies that are dominating. So yep. It's being uninformed makes you manipulable, and you should not be uninformed.
100%.
And they're
that's a very good line. Being uninformed makes you very susceptible to manipulation by the powers that be.
Yep. And they're making
and being
it harder.
Scared too, by the way, which a pandemic can really handy,
they go hand in
handy
hand.
For yep. these people.
Yeah.
It does go hand in hand. And they're making it harder and harder for you to find truthful information. At this point, it's like, if you, even make a Google search of trying to find these things, it's increasingly difficult. And it's going to be more so because that's their main goal, is to make it unable for you to find true information. Now, here's a video from 1946 talking about educating children, how propaganda gets in there, indoctrination gets in there, and how it infiltrates our schools. 1946.
A community rates low on an information scale when the press, radio, and other channels of communication are controlled by only a few people, and when citizens have to accept what they're told. In communities of this kind, despotism stands a good chance. See how a community trains its teachers.
Bear this in mind. Young people cannot be trusted to form their own opinion. This business about open-mindedness is nonsense. It's a waste of time trying to teach students to think for themselves. It's our job to tell them.
Abolish the public schools.
And when teachers put such training into practice, despotism stands a good chance. These children are being taught to accept uncritically whatever they're told. Questions are not encouraged.
How can you ask such a question? Have you got a textbook?
Yes, ma'am.
Does it say here that our law courts are always just?
Yes, ma'am.
Then how dare you question the fact? Sit down.
And so we aren't surprised when...
But it must be true. I saw it in this book right here.
And if books and newspapers and the radio are efficiently controlled, the people will read and accept exactly what the few in control want them to. Government censorship is one form of control. A newspaper which breaks a government censorship rule can be suspended. It is also possible for newspapers and other forms of communication to be controlled by private interests.
I thought I told you to kill that story. It'll cost us a lot of advertising.
If that story goes out, I quit.
All right.
It's phenomenal acting.
Yeah, that's from 1946. How true is everything that was said there? How true is that? And it lays out detail for detail exactly how we've gotten where we are today.
I felt a little bit with the voiceover. I was watching the English dub of Squid Game. But other than that, I thought it was a very good video.
Yeah, the English dub is garbage. Anyways.
You didn't even watch it. Why
are
you saying
that? I've seen clips of it.
No, you can't say that because you've seen clips. You've seen it. I watched
it. No, I'm saying if you see clips of a dub and you know that it's bad, it's bad. Anyways, back to this video. Back to this video.
Ridiculous.
It's true. And how much of this acting, it's very poor acting, but how much of this acting is reminiscent of what's actually happening in American schools today, with the teachers' union taking a stronghold and pushing their ideology in these schools? It's unfortunate that kids are not getting a real education today.
Exactly. Abolish them.
No, don't abolish them. It's a horrible
Get
argument.
Get rid of them.
It's a horrible argument.
No, it's not a horrible argument. Get rid of
you
them.
You sound like a leftist is what you sound like.
No, I do not.
Yes,
I don't.
Do.
Well, maybe I do then. I don't care.
You sound like a leftist.
Abolish them.
You don't abolish
Get
public
rid of the
schools.
Public schools.
Maybe we need to have an abolish public school debate on this show at some point because...
Oh, the public schools have been around for so long. Oh, the Federal Reserve's been around for so long.
Oh,
why don't we
gosh.
Just keep them all? It's so good. All welfare in this country's been around for so long, we can't abolish it.
Oh, is that what I sound like?
That's exactly
it. Sounds like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it being around for a long time.
You just don't know any better.
What do you mean I don't know any better?
That's exactly
what is your
mean.
What is your alternative
parents,
to abolishing public schools?
Well, you have a lot of different things, but you eventually make it so that a one-parent household can survive on one, or a parent, two parents can survive on one income, and then they homeschool the kids or send them to private school.
There's a lot that is
so
a
many.
Huge like in between what you're trying
the
to
amount
propose
of money
and what you're
the
trying
amount of money that you are spending on taxes for public school right now
mm-hmm.
could be used to go to a voucher for a private school, or just you don't even need a voucher because there's no more public schools. You just use the money to send your kid to private school, or to a charter school, or homeschool them. The public schools are garbage, and teach people horrible things.
Or you could just reform the public schools.
Reform it how? How do you reform it? It's impossible to
be involved as parents.
The way that it was created, the way that it was created creates an unjust system that does not have a system that teaches kids good values or teaches them how to be creative. It teaches you how to be obedient to authority.
The public schools, public school system in America was functioning very well for quite some time. The recent developments of wokeism and this sort of ideological the subplotting in education is very new.
You're talking about like what, like the Greek model?
You're talking about the Orwellian factory model of public education.
That is what it is like in America today.
I think that's too broad of a blanket statement. I had a wonderful experience in public schools in the 90s. Back when I was a young whippersnapper.
The '90s? Oh my goodness.
I had a wonderful experience in public school in the early 2000s.
I went through public school too.
Yeah. Like my community, had the values that we shared, and it was like a nice pro America, you know, community in Oklahoma, and had great values and great teachers. And like my first few years of, and I'm not saying it's like that widespread now. I think what we need is accountability in the public schools, and
we don't have any, because it's just like, imagine
parents need to be involved.
It's literally the DMV running your school system,
which is why we should have school choice, which is still a public schooling option, but that is facilitated by parents and vouchers and tax dollars.
We don't need public schools. The fact that people think that we need public schools is like a great lie by the government to try and keep kids in schools that are funded by the government. You don't need public schools.
Okay, well.
You don't need them.
We know Will's opinion on this matter.
We do. We revisit it every other week, I feel like, on the show.
And I will die on this hill.
He will die on this hill. And it'll
just
be
like
a lonely hill.
You will die
hill.
On the opposite. I'm so fine with
yet
a lonely
another
hill.
Segment derailed by the public school. Yeah.
Unpopular ideas made the West. Okay?
Yes.
It's true.
That is true.
It's true. So I'm fine with having an unpopular idea.
I know you are.
That I think is completely justified.
I mean, I'm sure you could justify it, but at this current moment.
What do you guys think in the comments? What side are you on? Are you team abolish public schools, or are you team reform public schools, or some other thing?
I see.
Let us know.
I see a lot on both sides. A lot of Will is right. A lot of people, when Will does his speech, right, for this book tour, right, he always mentions abolish the public school somewhere in there. And right. Everybody in the crowd claps.
Of course, because they know that I'm right.
I don't think they think it through all, too.
Oh, that's because Amala's thought it through.
No,
okay,
I'm just
all
saying.
These people, they haven't thought
we
it through.
We will have longer discussions.
Has.
When you hear these sweeping like calls for reforms that are like, you know, defund the police or we need a Green New Deal, they're usually completely lack nuance and zero right. investigation into what it takes to bring us from A to B. So if you can lay out a compelling case for
this
what it will take to bring us from A to B,
this
then
is not
I'll
a reform. This is an abolition.
This is an abolition.
But I know, but it's a sweeping revolutionary sort of like reformation. And so if you can make a case like that, lay it out line upon line, then I'm here for it.
Maybe
but
we'll have to do
that's
this.
Too broad to really just casually gloss over on a podcast segment.
It is. We don't have enough time. Maybe we will dedicate an entire episode to talking about whether or not we should abolish public schools.
Doesn't have enough time. I have all the time.
We do not have enough time to go into this subject matter.
I could do this all day.
There's a lot of horrible things that would increase if we abolish public schools. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Now.
Amala might have to look at a different point of view.
Oh. My goodness. Okay, we're moving on. We did an opening today that focused around Australia and not calling Australia a dictatorship. We did that opening because here is an article out of New York Times. No, Australia is not actually an evil dictatorship. And this is by Van Badman. This is an opinion piece, okay? So not necessarily the stamp of approval by New York Times on this opinion. But I want to read through some of it. We have mostly spent pandemic lockdowns alternating between boredom, frustration, wine, a lot of Netflix, and trying to locate our trousers before Zoom meetings. Oh, gosh.
The fact that people wear trousers at their Zoom meetings is just wild.
Recently, we've also become aware of a disturbing myth that appears to be enthusiastically fostered on the American right. Our experience of the pandemic, apparently, has been that of a violent police state. We must have been too busy taking out our bins to notice.
Avi Yamini, he is a Australian.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just some American guy trying to make a big deal about things. Avi Yamini is a reporter in Australia. He reports for Rebel News, and he has been reporting the entire time that this stuff has been happening about what's going on. Why do you have police officers in Australia coming out and saying, I'm not going to do this anymore, mate? Like, they're coming and saying that because they don't want to be complicit with this tyranny anymore. right? Yeah. And the important thing, one thing important to note is that in Australia, which they are doing right now, is that they are taking police officers from places on the west side and then moving them south and everything. They're moving police officers and different officials for this tyranny to be enforced into different places so that those police officers are not still in their communities. Because if those police officers were still in their communities, then they wouldn't want to do this tyranny so much. But if they're in somewhere else where they're not familiar with people they have no idea who they are, then they're going to be enforce those rules because they don't know these people.
Yeah, I know. This article goes on to say, oh, well, a lot of the videos circulating out of Australia are fake or they're old videos and they're not a true representation of what's happening in Australia right now. But like we said, we had Avi Yemeni on the show. He goes out live and records the things that are happening in Australia, and these things are happening. We had our guest on the show today, Lori, has family in Australia. It is happening there. The lockdowns are happening. Now, this person goes on to justify these lockdowns and says these anti-lockdown protests never attended by more than a few thousand people. Guys, it's just a few thousand people, so who cares, are small by Australian standards. And unlike Americans, Australians are not politically inclined to demand. Okay, this is a great sentence. Unlike Americans, Australians are not politically inclined to demands for liberty and choice as much as we are for fairness and solidarity.
Idiots.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We value fairness and solidarity, so collectivism, more than we value liberty and choice, is what this person writes.
Of course they do. That's what leftist societies do. They value the collective. I mean, that's what Asian societies across world history have been doing for generations and generations now. I mean, they're incredibly collective societies. It's just how they are.
And they go on to write, as Australia's First Nations people knew and settler colonial Australians learned on arrival, individualism is far less useful than collaboration on a continent where everything from the weather to insects is trying to kill you all the time.
Well, now they can add the government to that list.
Now the government's trying to kill you too. Yeah, can add the police state.
It's funny these people are coming on and saying, like, oh, that didn't really happen. It's like a tyrannical government coming and trying to say, no, that didn't really happen. We didn't really do this. Taylor, maybe you know this too. I'm not sure. Wasn't it in World War I, the Germans, they sent a telegram to Mexico. I think it was called the Zimmerman telegram. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they sent it to Mexico basically saying, why don't you turn on the U.S. and go and attack the U.S.? And then once they found out about it, they're like, no, we didn't actually send that.
Yeah, we intercepted it.
Yeah, and they were like, no, this never happened. Like, we didn't really send this. And it's like, of course, a tyrannical government is going to try and backtrack on the bad things that they're doing for the rest of the world to see. It's like, okay, again, I'm going to bring up Squid Game. It's a good show. And since it's in the cultural lexicon right now, let's bring up Squid Game if you guys have seen it on Netflix. But it's like in the confines of that game where these people are playing, right? They're playing for this huge amount of money and they're doing things where they are committing evil acts. I mean, they're killing other people. They're doing evil things to try and get ahead, stabbing people, sacrificing people. It's like in the confines of that small controlled group, they are fine with committing evil acts for their own selfish gain. But then when they think that they're going out back into the world and the rest of the world might see, they would never act that way within a real world scenario. So this is like the same thing. Sure. It's like when you're in a scenario where it's very airtight and maybe media isn't getting out and you can kind of control the things that are going on, you're going to inflict tyranny upon your people. But then when it's like the rest of the world might be looking on and say, whoa, that's kind of a bad thing that you got going on there. They're going to say, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And then behind closed doors, you're doing exactly the opposite.
Yeah, it's just tragic to see it. They go on to say that people are advocating for this in Australia. So really, what does it matter? There's been several movements and killer movements in history where a majority of people have advocated for what has happened to them, and it does not justify what you're doing. They make no justification for the lockdowns that are happening in Australia. They simply brush it off and say that right-wingers are using this as an excuse to label Australia as a dictatorship, meanwhile making no arguments for as to why all of this is happening in their country.
Yeah, the way these mandates and lockdowns and all these rules have been handed down, like from the very get-go, my freedom is sacred. Yep. And if you are going to say, okay, we have some temporary restrictions because this is a public health crisis and an emergency, here's what we know, then I think from the get-go, you're supposed to say, okay, we're going to do this limited thing for this number of days, and then we're going to revisit, you know, like, where's the deadline? Where's the timeline on any of this stuff? And that's what's scary about the vax mandates that we're talking about earlier. Like, what, at what point, at what level level of spread or at what level percent of people vaccinated are we going to roll back any of these? At what point do I get my freedom back? That has never been stipulated and laid out in at least here in California and in Australia. And what you don't realize is the answer, if there is no answer, it's probably never.
No, there is no answer. There is no answer. Just finished, or I'm almost
and
done.
The
with
answer
this
is until you comply, until we have compliance, and that just means you never get your freedom back.
Yeah, I almost finished this book. I'm just about done with it. That you guys should definitely check out. It's called Crisis and Leviathan, by Robert Higgs, and it's about how in all of the greatest turmoils and bad things to happen in this country, the size of government has expounded because of these crises that have happened within our country. Well, it's actually a very dense read, so it's not like the most interesting book in the world, but it's very good if you are into that. You can also find summaries for it online and things too. But
I need the Cliff Notes. I need the podcast version.
I know. I'll talk to you. Give you the Cliff Notes
for a dummy
creature
like
of
me.
Jekyll Island too.
Well, we're going to move on to another story here today.
Real quick.
Yes.
I made a poll on YouTube Live.
I saw that.
Abolish or reform public schools. And right now it's at 52% reform and 48% abolished. So it has swung, though. It started out more people were in favor of abolishing. So if you haven't voted yet, get your vote in live here on YouTube.
I don't really care how you guys vote.
Yeah, Will just sticks to his guns. So...
Yes. I'm interested in just where the audience is at. Though.
Yeah, me too. It looks like 50-50 for the most part on this so far. So far, at least. We will see if you guys change it all. We got a few super chats here. William Barkenbush, thank you for your large super chat. You're always a great supporter of the show. Tracy Fink, thank you for your super chat. And we got one from Amala's Braids that said, I forgot what it said.
It was
said
so
something
great.
Like Amala says she doesn't support slavery, but here we are stuck to her head or something like that. Thank you, I guess. I don't know. Very dedicated. I appreciate it. My braids.
Like her braids are like...
My braids are...
On
stuck.
Her head and I don't know.
I don't know.
Do your braids feel them? Enslaved?
I guess so.
Someone made an account called Amala's Braids saying we're oppressed.
Yeah. Oh, got it. Okay.
Anyways.
And then did a super chat just to so it'd be seen.
Apparently,
I appreciate the effort.
Apparently it's not the only thing that I'm oppressing because I'm going to be doing a speech at Winona State University on Thursday night. So if you are in Winona or in Minnesota and you want to come see me, there will be an Eventbrite link. Hopefully I'll try to put it in the
great
comments
state,
down below.
Minnesota.
Yes. Great state, Minnesota.
General. That's where I'm from originally.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. Like, you're going to have the best time now.
It's so cold.
I bet it is going to be
October.
Really cold.
It's not too bad yet.
Yeah, it's not too bad yet, but it gets so cold. I went in January. And also I think because it's so cold, people are pretty mean. In the Twin Cities, they were very mean.
Really?
They're very mean people.
Minnesotans are extremely nice. They're
there's
a thing called Minnesota nice. It's
I know,
like
but I think
very
I think in like the outskirts and everything. But right. I think that in the city, I've never met meaner people. They were some of the meanest people I've ever met in Twin Cities.
Well, city
very
people are generally worse.
Yeah,
anyways.
That's true. They were so cold and bitter.
You get used to the cold though, and then you're just like, whatever. I'll just bundle up and go live my life.
Oh, right. You got another sleeping bag there.
Get your long johns on and go out.
Don't you know?
Well, I'm getting protested at Winona State University. Here's the...
No Amala. Send her home.
Hey, you get out of here with that racist language, don't you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Darn tootin', you let her leave.
Here is the Instagram post from the Winona State University College Democrats. Protest hateful ideologies. Join the WSU College Dems in a silent protest outside of the venue that I'll be at. It says, a hateful far-right organization, PragerU, is coming to campus. Now, they also are running a food bank at the same time as this protest. So smart. I'm gonna grab some cans and bring it to these protesters and hopefully have a good conversation. And if you guys are in Minnesota and you want to come see me at Winona State University, bring some cans for their food drive and try to have some conversations.
No throwing the cans.
Well, yeah, to the leftist, no, don't throw the cans at me either. I
yes.
would hope.
Be nice.
Be nice. They are going to be silently protesting, which I wonder if they will use it as an excuse to not talk to me when I try to talk to them. That'll be interesting.
What is a silent protest on a campus? What does that look
they
like?
Just
they
just stand.
They make signs. So they've already made signs that says hate has no home here. And they drew a little house on it for me.
Uh-huh.
So this is very cute. I want to see if I can get one of the signs to take home.
I mean, why don't like you agree with that? Yeah. No hate here. Listen to my
right.
speech. No hate will be spewed. And I'll be anti-hate with you.
Right.
But I'll also be anti-hate you hating me.
I'm anti-hate anti you hating
of hate,
me.
Of anti-hate. Of hate. Anti-hate.
I hate the anti-haters whose hate is imaginary.
Exactly.
It's a hate crime because I hated it.
I sure hated it.
It's from the office.
We'll see how it goes. I wonder how many people are actually going to show up for this protest. I'd be curious.
I don't know.
Very curious. Now we're going to move on to our last segment of the day, and that is Dear Will and Amala. Since it is Monday, we only have a couple of questions submitted through Instagram. If you want to submit your questions for Dear Will and Amala, follow me on Instagram at the Amala Epinobi. Follow Will at the Will Witt. Follow Taylor at Taylor Trendle. And here's our first question. This is from 26 Blue Dimples. I might leave this one for you guys.
It's a great name.
I've been having trouble coming to terms with the great beyond since I graduated uni. What should I do? It's a really interesting question. We didn't get many questions, but this one was one of the more interesting ones.
What does that mean? The terms.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. Yeah, well, coming to terms with something is like I'm wrestling with this idea, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the great beyond, that's not really a formulation I'm familiar with. It doesn't seem like a Christian idea.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Isn't the great beyond like the term for like heaven and afterlife?
Just like the supernatural?
I don't know. They didn't really clarify.
Or an afterlife? Yeah, it's just a strange sort of
let's assume it's
phrasing.
Heaven in the afterlife.
Well, you're trying to come to terms with heaven.
I don't know if this means coming to terms with death. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting question that you might know more about it, but clearly we're all at a loss to answer this. Will's just staring at the question, trying to decipher it.
I would just say read the Bible and try and take wisdom from it and see if it will help put you to ease. I find a lot of Christians will struggle with things, but then won't read the Bible when they struggle with it and not really give a full look at what's actually going on in their thinking. You know, the answers are for you in Scripture.
What if they're talking, okay, so people are commenting, what if they're talking about like the workforce, like the great beyond after I graduated uni? Like after getting out of school?
It sounds like he got exposed to, all sorts of ideas about meaning and the destiny and origin and all that type of stuff, and he's just wrestling with God questions.
26 Blue Dimples. Here's what you got to do. You got to go back and write a better question. And then next week we'll try and answer it, okay?
Clarify a little bit better if you're watching this show right now.
If you have deep questions, then you need to be able to formulate them well.
Yeah, send me like a DM, because I know they only allow a few characters on Instagram. So send me a DM of your actual question, and we will try to feature it on the show next week. How's that? Moving on. At what age do you think kids/teenagers should be exposed to internet and social media? This is from Haha, it's Hannah.
Never.
Oh.
Kids and teenagers? Yeah, I mean,
kids and teenagers.
Not until like mid-late teens. I think they should probably be supervised and closely monitored in the preteen years. It's not a healthy thing. And so, you know, you have to balance how unhealthy it is to deprive them of regular socialization and the freedom to do what all their friends are doing versus the freedom to screw up their brains and get addicted to dopamine cycles and manipulated by big tech and social media algorithms. So those are the enemies that you're up against. And I don't think there's a clear-cut answer. It depends on the maturity level of your kid, depends on how much trust you have in them, depends on how closely you can monitor what's going on.
You can't trust a kid. It's a kid.
Yeah, not Imagine a kid. I'm saying like a teenager or someone with a degree of independence.
Like you put an 8-year-old on TikTok, they can literally watch what is essentially porn.
Yep.
An 8-year-old or even younger, whoever old you give it to them, they can watch porn on TikTok. That's literally what it is. It might not be butt naked people or anything like that, but essentially it is porn with the things that these people are doing on TikTok. I mean, that's what it is. If you want your kids watching porn, give them TikTok. Okay. If you don't, then don't let them go on TikTok. It's that simple.
And there are phones that you can buy for your child so they can still get in touch with you and do what they would like to,
but you
can't get social media on it.
Yeah, get them the Razor.
Nokia like the brick phone.
They even have internet on them, but they have safe internet. You can get phones that have safe internet, no social media that your kid can still contact you on. I'm a fan of 13, 14 type of age.
Once you reach that age and you get social media, please tell us how it goes.
Oh, my God. Over it.
I was really looking forward to getting her first phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I am. My mom told me in 2 more years I can get my first phone. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think that's a good age for it, hopefully monitored, of course. I would advise all parents have passwords to their kids' social media if they have social media, because you never know what's happening on your kids' social media. They can literally see anything and meet anyone.
Yeah, read their messages.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
Even my mom used to. That was embarrassing.
Oh, yeah?
That was the
worst.
You're
like flirting with Cindy and your mom's reading it?
Yeah, exactly. I'll be like, you know, what, in like 8th grade?
Uh-huh.
And I'll be like, texting with a girl I think is cute, and then my mom's like, let me read your messages. I'm like, no, mom, no.
You didn't delete them? You just let her read them?
Well, I tried to, but then sometimes it's random. It's like a TSA random pre-check. Or like random search. That was literally, right. I'd walk home from school not thinking that I'm going to get searched today, and my mom's like, let me see your phone. Oh, no. I'm like, mom, what do I do? She's like, you can do anything. I just want to see it. And then she'd read my messages. And
your
I'd
mom's
like,
a
oh
smart lady. Did you get in trouble for flirting with girls in your messages?
No, not for flirting with girls. No. I didn't get in trouble.
It was just embarrassing.
That. Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Can your mom take you to the movies this weekend at 6:30 to go see Fast and Furious 3? Yeah.
My mom's going to call your mom to make sure there's no drinking. We're going to make sure that it's okay. Okay? That's literally what happened.
Oh, that's hilarious.
All throughout my high school. Right. My mom would call everyone's mom to make sure that we weren't drinking.
That is tragic. Wow.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Never drank. Of course not. No, never. You know.
I actually really didn't drink prematurely.
Wow. Well,
so.
Losers, okay.
But yeah, that's our last question. So we gave you our answers, although it is a difficult thing to answer.
It was kind of a half-hearted Q&A session.
Yeah, because we didn't get a lot of responses. And the responses that we did get are questions that we've done on the show before. But yeah, no, I think about it a lot because you got to realize that also your kid is going to go through everybody else having tablets and phones and all that fun stuff. And they're not going to have that. And I wonder what that does for your children long-term because it's probably going to be tough for them to deal with that. And especially with that being the way that kids socialize in large part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a balancing act that you have to play as a parent. I'm really interested to see like when we're all parents, what the world looks like at the time. So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be way crazier than it is now.
I know. Once me and Huskott have kids, it's going to be crazy. Once we adopt. Once we both go on paternity leave, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, at least you'll have as much time as you need until they're 4 years old.
No, we're thinking
4 years off, right?
Yeah, we're to at least 3 years if you know. We're pretty generous with our paternity leave, so you know. It's going to be pretty chill.
I think we need to wrap up. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. We have a very important survey for you guys to take. We're going to put it in the comments down below. It'll also be in the description below this video. Tell us when you watch the show, how you watch the show, what you like about the show, what you would like to see on the show. If you don't fill out the survey, all three of us are fired and the show ceases to exist. So it is wholly dependent on you guys filling out the survey. And so far, you guys have. We've been getting hundreds of responses. The best ones we will get on the show and read to you guys because we always get some really nice ones and some funny ones to read out to you guys. So go fill out the survey below. If you would like to listen to us rather than watch, you can go to Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review there so that everybody knows that you love the show. We know that you love the show. More people watch the show. We would really appreciate it. We are going to be back tomorrow, 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. And we have some really cool interviews this week as well. So yeah, guys, thank you for watching. We're gonna close out with Will's burp.
You're welcome.
Pretty good. Bye, guys.
Bye.